Hi there, everybody. This is Ken Mears and Tarzan. Inviting you to join us again right here in the tack room of the old Diamond K Ranch. Get around the fire and listen to a story I'm going to tell you today. A story I call Chuckaluck and the City of Gold. Chuckaluck was an old prospector and desert rat, among many other things. I met him some years ago, and I want you to meet him, too. The City of Gold was a ghost town, and, well, I don't want to get ahead of my story, so you gather around and get ready to hear a thrilling adventure just as it happened to me.
As Ken said, from the tack room of his Diamond K Ranch, we're bringing you stories of adventure, stories of circus life, fascinating transcribed tales of the Old West where cowboys still follow the cattle trails, stories of rodeos and parades, colorful legends of the red man, hidden gold and buried treasures. The exciting tales from the Diamond K are told by Hollywood's champion of Western stars, internationally famous Ken Maynard. You know, I can hardly wait to hear your story today, Ken, and I guess nobody ever outgrows enjoying the fabulous tales of the West, of cowboys and Indians, of circus adventures and hidden treasures. And that's why I'm going to let you folks in on my secret. I bought a Diamond K record album of Ken Maynard stories. Yes, I did. Of course, I'll have to admit that they were supposed to be for my kids, but when the records arrived and the kids put the first one on the phonograph, I was right there listening. And I just couldn't leave till I heard both of the stories. And you should have seen my young son's face when Ken Maynard said,
"Hello, Dave. This is Ken Maynard with a story just for you."
Yes, sir. Ken said that right on the record. And you can bet that all the kids in our neighborhood have been in to listen many times. And Buckaroos, you'll get the same thrill when you have a Ken Maynard record album for your very own, personalized with your name spoken right on the record. It's a beautiful album with colored pictures of Ken and Tarzan on the front. And inside are 2 8-inch pure vinylite, absolutely unbreakable records with 2 complete Wild West stories. Now, because these records are made of the most expensive materials, you can play them over and over again, and you can't wear them out. So don't wait another minute. Send your name and address and a dollar to Records in care of this radio station, and your album will be mailed prepaid right from Hollywood. Now, here's Ken.
Well, sir, folks, I bet there isn't anyone in my audience listening to me today who doesn't know what a ghost town is. But in case there may be someone who doesn't know, I'll explain that it's the name we give to the old and abandoned towns scattered all over the West. Once they were busy, bustling places with sometimes as many as 20 or 30,000 people. But something happened and everybody went away. Usually it was the gold mines which gave out, or the silver veins were exhausted, and there was nothing else to keep folks there. After that, they drifted away to other fields where the diggings were better. Some of the ghost towns were famous places in their day, fine stores, hotels, and houses. There was Silver Cliff in Colorado, many other romantic names in California and all over. Would you like to hear some of them? Well, there was Harnitas, Chinese Camp, Tuttletown, Volcano, Yankee Jim, Michigan Bluff, El Dorado, and many, many others. But it doesn't take many years for a town to fall apart and weather away when there are no people there to keep it going. Well, sir, the ghost town I'm telling you about today was once called Rockerville. Not even on the maps anymore. And I might never have heard of it myself if I hadn't run into Chuckaluck. I was sitting in the lobby of a little hotel one evening in a western town, taking it easy and waiting for bedtime. I saw a shabby old fellow come in and shuffle over to the desk clerk. They talked a few minutes, but the clerk kept shaking his head. Their voices got louder, and I could make out the clerk saying, "No, Chuck. Mr. Ross says I was not to give you any more credits or overnight rooms. I'm sorry, but you'll have to stay somewhere else." The old man cussed in violent and colorful language, and jamming his hat on his head, stomped out the front door. I could see him stand on the sidewalk, seemingly uncertain which way to go or what to do next. There was something about him that drew my interest. I guess it was his manner of owning the whole world. Yet he was the picture of a desert rat. I got up and went over to the desk clerk. "Good evening, Mr. Maynard," he said. "Everything all right?" "Oh, sure," I told him. "I just wonder who that old fellow was that you were talking to. You know, I'm interested in unusual stories of the West, and that old man looks to me like he could tell one if you could ever get him to talk." The clerk laughed. "That's old Chuckaluck. If you can get him to talk, you'll do more than anybody else can. Comes into town once or twice a year for supplies. He used to stay overnight here, paying good money for it like anyone else. But the last few times, though, he's tried to run out without paying, and Mr. Ross, the hotel owner, told me not to put him up anymore. I'm sorry for him, Mr. Mayor, but that's my orders. Why don't you go out and talk to him if you want to?" "Thanks," I said. "I think I will." Chuckaluck was still standing out in front, looking plenty angry and muttering to himself. I walked up to him quietly. "Hello, Chuckaluck," I said. "I'm Ken Maynard. If you let a stranger give you a helping hand, I'd like to do it." Chuck stopped his muttering and turned on me a piercing and angry look. Then his face relaxed and he scratched his stubby beard. "Maynard," he said, "I reckon you ain't no stranger. I've heard of you. I'll accept your help. Thank you. I'm plumb tired and want to go to bed. That high and mighty feller in there gets me riled. I could buy his hotel if I wanted to, and a dozen more like it. Fix it up with him, and I'll see you in the morning." With that, he turned around and walked back into the hotel without even glancing at the desk clerk and stomped up the stairs. "Well, I fixed it up," the Chuckaluck asked. "The next morning, I was down early waiting for him. I figured he might feel more like talking after a good night's rest. Wasn't long till down he come, looking as fresh as a weather-beaten, shabby old man could. He didn't stop at all, but headed straight for the front door, saying to me as he went, 'Howdy, young feller. If you got the price of a breakfast, let's go.' I caught up with him. Down the street we went, him not saying a word. It was only after he'd put away a man-sized stack of hotcakes and eggs that he leaned back and began to talk. 'Young feller, you're the first coyote who's done me a kind turn since I can remember. I'd like to show you something, because I know you can be trusted. How'd you like to come along home with me?' This really took me by surprise, but I told him I'd like to if he was right sure he'd like to have me for company. 'Well, meet me north of the edge of the town in about half an hour and bring that horse of yours. What's his name?' 'Tarzan,' I said. 'Yeah, bring Tarzan, because you'll need him.' Well, I checked out of the hotel and saddled Tarzan down at the stables. I laid in a few supplies I figured I might need. In about half an hour, I was waiting at the north edge of town. Pretty soon, along came Chuckaluck, riding a very good horse with a well-turned saddle. Tarzan waved a greeting, friendly-like, and Chuck pulled up beside me. 'I want to warn you, young feller, it's fast riding for 2 days. If you can't take it, you better turn back now.' I laughed and told him I'd spent all my life in the saddle, and the wild country didn't bother me a bit. 'All right, then,' he said. 'I want to tell you, I'm mayor and only living resident of Rockerville, and that's where we're going. It's a ghost town, young feller. If you ain't scared, let's go.' So off we went, riding north into the mountains in some of the wildest country I've ever seen, toward a place I'd never heard of, and me wondering if old Chuckaluck was just crazy after all. But as you'll find out when I finish this story, he was far from crazy. And a ghost town can hold secrets and surprises, especially when the ghosts are made of solid gold. Now, kids, sit back in your chairs there and relax a minute. I'll finish my story in just a minute. And don't miss the finish. It's a humdinger. But before I get back to the story, I just want to tell you K-shirt owners how mighty proud I am to know I have so many friends. Why, gosh darn, they tell me the postman can hardly carry all the letters that come in each day asking for a K-shirt like mine. I told you the story, didn't I? How a fellow designed this K-shirt for me to wear while I'm practicing tricks with Tarzan to get ready to travel again with the circus? And how all the kids in the neighborhood want one like it? Well, the fellow says it still goes. If you want a real Western K-shirt like mine, made especially to fit you, of course, you could get one for just a $1 bill. The K-shirt's real pretty. It's sandy color with my Diamond K brand right smack on front in bright red. And Tarzan and I are looking right at you. So if you want to join the rest of the kids that's joined the Diamond K, just send me your name and address. Tell me what size you wear, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, or 12, and enclose a $1 bill and send it to K-shirt in care of this radio station. Well, now let's get back to Chuckaluck. We camped the first night far into the wild mountains beside a stream. He was never very talkative, but he did tell me that his name, Chuckaluck, was pinned on him when he used to run a gambling hall in the Klondike during the gold rush. He never would tell me his real name. The thing that puzzled me most of all was that his equipment, his gun and so on, were all first class, all except his clothes. I wondered why, if he had no money for a hotel room, where he got such fine stuff. Well, sir, the next evening found us in a long, narrow canyon and following it for some miles. With the mountains on each side getting steeper and steeper, we suddenly rallied a turn, and there it was, Rockerville, the queen of ghost town, and looking pretty ghostly in the gathering dusk. It's hard to tell you how strange it feels to ride into a place like that at twilight with the odd sensation that any minute somebody's going to come out of a store or walk up the street, and you wait and nobody does, ever. You try to picture how it must have been when the town was bustling with roaring miners and lively cowmen and tough shopkeepers, but somehow you just can't do it. It's been dead too long. But none of this seemed to bother Chuckaluck. To him, this was home, and he looked as happy as a cowboy on payday. He led me down the dusty street to the old Black Ace Saloon, the best-preserved building in town. After tending our horses, we went inside and Chuckaluck lit a couple of oil lamps. "Come on out in the kitchen and I'll fix you some grub," he said. And as I watched him slice bacon and put on the beans, I realized that Chuckaluck was ready to talk. "I'm lonesome here, sure," he said. "But I'm my own boss, and I'd rather be lonesome than to put up with some of these darn fool people I meet in the world outside. Of course, if you count the ghosts, I ain't so lonesome after all. In fact, it was a ghost who showed me where the stuff is." And he grinned at my puzzled expression. "It's a fact. I'm an old man, and I aim to live here till I die, and be one of the ghosts myself. But you're a good feller and done me a kind turn. I figure when I'm gone, somebody ought to know where the stuff is and get some good out of it. Maybe you can't see the ghost like I can, so after supper I'll show you myself where it's hid." Well, I understood what Chuck was talking about, but I still didn't believe he had anything valuable hid around, and as for the ghost, well, that I could believe. I figured I'd been seeing them myself if I'd have stayed in Rockerville very long. When we'd finished the beans and drunk a couple cups of coffee, Chuck took the oil lamp and led me behind the bar. There was a trap door in the floor leading down some steps to the cellar, where I guess they stored supplies long ago. The walls were lined with rock, and one of them was loose and lifted out, though you never could tell it by looking at it. Chuck reached in and, to my amazement, brought out several small sacks of gold dust and a few nuggets of thumbnail size. "There's more in there, and maybe more other places, but that's all the ghost showed me," he said. "It's took care of me a long time, but I do go broke. You see, I have to be darn careful how I trade it, or I'd have 1,000 varmints up here tearing the place down. I just use the dust and never go to the same time more than once a year. I tell people I'm panning. They get nosy. They figure I work all year for just a little, so they let me alone. Works out fine. They're hard for me to cash in without getting folks excited, so I don't have much use for them." I reached in and out of a worn leather bag, brought out a handful of perfect beauties. "Where'd this come from, Chuck?" I asked him, still hardly believing my eyes. "No one will ever know," he said, "but somebody must have left it, meaning to come back and never got to. I figure the ghost knows, if he'd talk."
Well, say, there's a real Western story for you with a lot of color in it, too. Gosh, what excitement. And you kids will find the same wonderful action-packed tales on the Diamond K record album to play any time you want. Stories that you really want to hear over and over again and to play for all your friends. And what a thrill when you hear Ken's voice speaking right to you on the record and calling you by name. He'll say,
"Hello, Phil." Or, "Hello, Paul."
Or whatever your name is, right on the record. And remember, you can't buy these Ken Maynard records in any store. This is his own private Diamond K album of 78 RPM standard speed records that can only be ordered by writing to this radio station. These records are made of the finest material that money can buy. And they have a picture of Ken and a picture of Tarzan right on the records and on the album, too. So send today. Send your name and address and be sure to include your name so Ken can say hello to you. And slip a dollar bill in the envelope and send it to records in care of this station. Your album will be mailed direct from Hollywood. Now here's Ken to tell you about his next story.
Well, folks, it's time to bring our story roundup to a close. This is Ken Maynard and Tarzan. Closing up the tack room at the Diamond K Ranch till I see you next time when I'll tell you the story, Craters of the Moon. We'll be looking for you. So long.
You've been listening to Tales from the Diamond Cave. Stories of adventure told by Ken Maynard, internationally famous cowboy and Hollywood's champion of Western stars. Tales from the Diamond Cave was produced and transcribed in Hollywood.